Dan, you talked today at the Conrad Symposium about your work with rat root. What is rat root? Where do you find it, and what does it look like?
Rat root is a plant that normally grows in wet areas, and it grows in a number of ponds and also areas that are occasionally flooded or flooded sort of annually for periods of time. It's a plant that looks a little bit like cattail in that the leaves are flat and green and very tall. It's related to irises, although it doesn't have such a spectacular flower. The flower is rather more inconspicuous. It's a plant, though, that is used by the native people and has been used by the native people for a number of purposes, primarily medicinal, but plays a big role in their spiritual life as well.
And do they eat it?
They actually dry the rhizome. The rhizome is like an underground stem, and it grows along and produces shoots from that. And what they do is they dig up the rhizome, they dry it, and chew pieces of it, and primarily for things like sore throats, upper respiratory, although I've heard that it's used for lungs and liver as well.
Now, I understand that you're researching the propagation of rat root for use in possible reclamation in the oil sands areas. What exactly are you doing?
Well, the first thing that we are trying to do is learn how to propagate it, and that means either growing it from seed or vegetatively propagating it. Originally, when we started looking at rat root populations, it didn't appear that seeds were produced very often. Our work now shows that they do produce seeds on a regular basis and that we can grow it from seed. I've worked with Smoky Lake Forest Nursery, and we've come up with methodologies for germinating and growing these in the greenhouse. The other thing that we do is we have learned to propagate it vegetatively. That means taking the underground stem that elongates and puts up shoots and cutting that into pieces, basically dividing old plants. Then what we're trying to do is once we grow these up, we're trying to get them established in the wetlands that are being created around the oil sands after the disturbance, so part of the newly created landscapes. There's a number of ways we're doing that. We're actually planting them into the shorelines of these small wetlands, as well as growing them on what we call floating mats. Naturally, acarus, or the rat root, grows on these floating mats made up of cattail. We don't know how to make those, so we're trying to use synthetic floating mats right now to just see if we can actually get the rat root to grow in these wetlands, and later on we'll look at more organic methodologies.
Is there a concern that the mats that you're using right now, the artificial ones, that they could pose some sort of hazard to the environment?
At this point, we don't think so. These are mats that are used primarily for ornamental plantings in places like golf courses and parks and so on. They are inert. They're made of recycled plastics, and they are inert, and they don't have any leachates. However, I think that any time that you're looking at a natural landscape, it's up to us to try and ensure that we're not putting anything into the landscape that's going to be there for a very long time.
What's your success been?
Well, at this point, we've only been a year into the project. Certainly the propagation has been extremely successful. We have many, many plants that we've been able to propagate, in fact, more than we ever expected. Establishing them up on the sites has just happened last year. We put them in June and July last year, and so we've only had, you know, just that summer to look at them, and so far they look really good in terms of what's going to happen over winter and how they're going to survive the winter and survive on these mats into next year. I think we'll have better results then.
Now, do you have any problems with the animals or the birds that are out on these ponds?
We certainly have had Canada geese out on our mats and pecking away and eating some of the tops. They have not destroyed any of our plants, and they seem to be somewhat judicious about what they take. So, you know, we don't see that as a big problem yet. Depending on the populations, of course, that could be a problem. We have had a few muskrat come in and just sort of float up under our mats and pull the plants down into the water and walk away with them or swim away, I guess.
You're having some success with the propagation and the growth of these plants. Have you taken them back to the Aboriginal people and asked them what they think of what you're coming up with?
Well, certainly we've had a chance to talk with some of the Aboriginal people in the area, some of the elders, and they're really interested in the idea. I think it is interesting. When we first talked to them, one of their questions was, why would you do this? And we said, well, you know, if you want to get this plant back in there and for your use, you would have to propagate it. And they just shook their head because, of course, they've always just used natural populations and never really thought about propagating it themselves. They have a concern that what we propagate is not going to be good enough for them or the same as what you would find in the wild. I think we should be able to alleviate those concerns over time. The plants that we are growing in the greenhouse look a little bit different than what they see in the wild. Once we put them out into the natural settings and the temperature regimes that we have, I think the plants will grow much more similarly to those that are natural, and I think that those problems will be alleviated, and I think that they'll be less concerned about it.
Now, you've been doing your study so far in ponds that use fresh water. What about dealing with the processed water that comes from the oil sands plants?
One of the reasons we're using fresh water is because we're trying to set up methodologies to grow these plants and learn how to grow them and how to establish them. Certainly there will be a time when we look at growing these in some of the processed water that comes from the plants. That's water that's higher in salts and minerals and so on, and some of the heavy metals. So yes, we will be looking at trying to establish those there, but that hasn't started yet.
What are the next steps for you?
Well, the next step is to, we're using the mats at this point, and we're going to monitor those over time and look at the plant growth and make sure that we actually know how to grow these. Once we do that, we will be doing two things. One, starting to work with processed water and seeing if we can't have these plants growing there. The other step is to look at some more natural mats. And we actually serendipitously ran into a system that we find might work. We grew some plants in flats in the greenhouses, and one of the fellows, Barry Wood from Smoky Lake, and I looked at these plants after they'd grown for quite a while and realized that they'd knitted themselves into a mat by themselves. And we thought, well, maybe now we can take those natural mats and put them out and see if we can get the same success. So we're going to look at that this summer.
Thank you very much, Anne.
Oh, you're most welcome.